Genesis in chapter number 17. Genesis and chapter number 17. In our study of the life of Abram, we've been allowed to watch and learn from the process that Abram went through as God was working to bring him under His control. Last week, we considered Genesis chapter 15, where Abram and Sarai were waiting on God and wondering if and how God was going to come through on His promise. And they began, as we saw, to focus on their circumstance instead of on their Savior. And as a result, they decided to take matters into their own hands. May I say, anytime we take matters into our own hands, we very rarely make things better, but we often make things worse. And that's exactly what happened in Abram's life and Sarai's life. That one decision, Genesis chapter 16, created a lifetime of heartaches and headaches that they were never meant to experience. But they didn't just impact them, it also impacted their descendants for generations to come, even to this very day. The reality is, the decision that Abram and Sarai made caused their blessings to be more difficult to experience and harder to enjoy because of those heartaches and headaches. Now listen to me, any time that we make the decision to take matters into our own hands, and any time that we make the choice to live by our own sight and by our own mind, we'll always make a mess out of our lives. While God is quite capable of picking up the pieces and putting those pieces back together again, when you and I begin to understand that the value of our life is seen in the work of the hands of God in our life, we'll begin to understand that God already has a drastic amount of work to do. We ought not give Him any more work to take care of. Abram and Sarai made the decision to have a child through Hagar, Sarai's handmaid. But, as we found last week, once it was made known, Hagar was expecting with a child. Jealousy was allowed to set into that home and create a distance between each of those in the home and between them and God. And drama ensued within the home. We found that Sarai dealt very hardly with Hagar and sent her out. Hagar had a meeting with God. God found her where she was. God sent her back home. Now, as we move to Genesis chapter 17, we find that 13 years have passed. Between Genesis chapter 16 and chapter 17, there are 13 years that have transpired. In that time frame, God still has not blessed Abram and Sarai with a child of their own. As a matter of fact, as far as I can tell, in that 13-year time span, neither have they heard from God. You say the Scriptures. And up to this point, there's only been about two times anyway. Now it's been 13 years and God has been silent. May I say, there are times in your life and mine where God seems silent. We take and we pray and it seems like God doesn't answer. We ask Him to meet our needs and it just seems like nothing comes through. We read our Bibles and it just seems like words on a page instead of a love letter of God written for you and I to encourage us in our walk with Him and to lead us in a path that is right before God. It seems like our Christian walk has gone stale and dry. May I say, God has not forgotten about you, and you're in good company because many people have gone through exactly what you're going through. As a matter of fact, when you study the Bible, you're going to find that it was Job who experienced an intense season of silence, and it was he who said, "I cry unto thee, and thou dost not hear me. I stand up, and thou regardest me not." David, as you read the Psalms, you'll find that David experienced many seasons of silence. But in Psalms 22 and verses 1 and 2, it was David who cried out saying, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. Habakkuk, you'll find he himself also experienced a season of silence. And it was he who cried out saying, O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear, even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save? We could turn over to the New Testament scriptures, and we'll find Jesus Christ himself hanging, bleeding, and dying on the cross of Calvary. And it is Jesus that cries out to his Father saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? See, the reality is that in this life, God allows you and I to go through seasons of silence. All we want is to hear from God, but it seems like God is nowhere to be found. We just want Him to move and work, and yet God seems so far from our circumstances that He can't hear us. Begin to wonder if He even knows what's going on. And I say, God uses periods of silence to accomplish a work in your life. And if you and I aren't careful, it's during that time of silence that we'll begin to focus on our physical need instead of focusing on the spiritual purpose. Yes, God has allowed you to go through a time of silence, but God has not abandoned you. God has not forgotten about you. God knows what you need. And what you need right now is get to the end of yourself so that you can trust God to do what's impossible with you. That's why there's seasons of silence. You see, if you and I aren't careful, we begin to think that we can accomplish anything that's needed in our life. The reality is we can't do it because there are things that are just impossible with man, but things that are impossible with man are possible with God. So God takes us through a season of silence to take and get us to where He can do the work and get the glory through our circumstance. Begin our reading tonight in Genesis chapter 17, verse number 1. The Bible says this, And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect, and I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee. Thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful. I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee and their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. God said unto Abraham, Thou shalt keep my covenant before, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. We'll stop our reading there. If you're in the habit of marking things in the Word of God, I want to draw your attention back to verse number 1 where the Bible says this, The Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, Our thought tonight is simply this, when God breaks His silence. I guarantee you tonight that you're going to go through seasons of your life where God seems silent and God seems distant. May I say, there's going to come a moment in your life where God's going to break through, God's going to break His silence, and He's going to let you in on what He's planning to do, and you're going to be so amazed at what God's plans really are. You see, the reality is when you begin to focus on your finite understanding and on your limited ability, when you don't when you're not at that place where you're relying and trusting entirely on God, we're so limited in what God really is allowed to do in our life because we don't dream big enough. You see, our dreams and our desires are limited by what we can accomplish. I want to ask you a question tonight. What is it that you're accomplishing? What is it that you're praying for that only God could break through and do? That only God has the ability to bring into reality in your life? You see, God, yes, allows you to go through silence, but God does break His silence. Preacher, what is it that God wants to do and accomplish when He breaks His silence? I want to give you seven things tonight very quickly. Number one, God breaks His silence to reveal the divine. God breaks His silence to reveal the divine. Notice here in verse number one, and when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. But the Bible labels God there in verse number one as the Almighty God. It is the name of God, El Shaddai. It is the first time that the name El Shaddai has showed up here in Abram's life. And we find that the name El Shaddai literally means this, the strong one, the Almighty one, the powerful one who nourisheth His people. It has the idea of a mother who is bringing her child close to her breast to extend comfort and help and hope to that individual. And I say it is taking two aspects of God, a powerful God and yet a personal God. And so we find here, as Abram is going through this season of silence, that God bursts onto the scene and He does so to reveal the divine, to reveal Himself as the Almighty God, as El Shaddai. It's as if God is saying to Abraham, Abram, I know you don't understand, and I know that this is hard for you, but you can trust me. Yes, I've given you a promise. Yes, you're considered past the age of having children. Yes, all of those things are true. Yes, people are making fun of you. Yes, people are labeling you as being embarrassed and ashamed of what God has what I've promised you. But He's saying this, Abraham, no matter how strange it may seem, no matter how difficult and impossible it may seem, Abraham, you can trust me. You know what? God sends you through seasons of silence so you'll trust Him more. It is so easy for you and I to begin to trust solely in ourselves. And God allows you to go through that time to get your trust off of yourself and place it back on God so we can see what God can do. It was the psalmist in Psalm 2 and verse number 12 that said, blessed are all they that put their trust in Him. Psalm 9:10, and they that know Thy name will put their trust in Thee. For Thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek Thee. Psalm 25, verse number 1, unto Thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in Thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Psalm 37 and verse number 5, commit Thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. God saying to Abraham, listen, I know your life's a mess. Listen, I know you made a mistake, but I want you to know something, Abraham. No matter how hard this seems, I am able. I am capable of straightening out your life. I am capable of forgiving you of your sin. I am able to strengthen you and to satisfy you and to sustain you. I can give you victory. But Abram, you gotta trust in me, the Almighty God. God breaks His silence, first of all, to reveal the divine. I want you to see a second thing tonight. Notice here in verse number 1, and when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. The word perfect there does not have the idea of being sinlessly perfect, of not allowing sin to take place in your life. The word perfect there literally means to be wholehearted. You see, what God was saying to Abraham is this: yes, I've shown up, I've broken my silence to reveal myself, the divine, but he says, I have broken my silence also to restore the disobedience. If you'll remember, Abram and Sarai had made a decision to disobey or to have a lack of faith in the will and the plan of God. Abram and Sarai began to connive and to put together a plan using the cultural thoughts of the day to bring about a child that God could use to give and fulfill the promise that had been given to Abram. But you know what? Shortcuts never work. Sometimes God just puts you and I on a long path to get us to where we need to be. The learning of patience is a lesson that all of God's children must learn. And the work of patience must be allowed to work in order to create in us and to turn us into who we need to be so that we're ready when the time comes. May I say, because of our disobedience, because we allow sin to enter in and to remain within our heart and life, it is our choices, it is our mistakes, it is our sin that creates distance between us and the Father. For 13 years, they hadn't heard from Him. For 13 years. But now, God speaks. He says, Abram, I just want you to know, I understand, I know that you disobeyed. I know you took matters into your own hands. But I want you to know something, Abram. I still love you. I still care about you. As a matter of fact, I love you enough to replenish you to where you were before. That's what the psalmist said in Psalm 23. But the Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. The phrase there, He restoreth my soul, literally means to replenish and refresh. Listen, when you and I choose to do wrong, the Bible puts it this way, that it wars against our soul. There's guilt, and there is the feeling and the sense of, I made a bad decision that begins to eat at us and not allow us to move forward as we ought to and as we know we should. But God comes on the scene and He says, I've not forgotten about you. I don't hate you. I still love you. And I'm willing. Yes, I'm the Almighty God. But I'm the God who'll take and I'll bring those who have fallen, those who've made mistakes, and I'll bring you close by, and I'll be your refuge, and I'll be your help, and I'll be your sustainer, and I'll lift you up because He wants to take and restore us. You see, just because you made a mistake doesn't mean God's done with you. That's what the devil tells you. Well, you did this, God can't use you now. It's a lie. It's a lie. You say, preacher, how do you know that's a lie? Because God would have been done with me a long time ago. By the way, He'd have been done with you a whole long time ago too. You say, why? Because we ain't perfect. And I'm so glad that my God takes. He's not just the God of a second chance. He's the God of another chance. You say, why do you say it that way? Because I passed second a whole long time ago. God, He takes and He breaks His silence to reveal the divine. God breaks His silence to restore the disobedient. But notice here in verse number 2, He says, and I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. I want you to understand something, that God breaks this silence to reassure the discouraged. We say to Abram, my promise still stands. Abram, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. Abram, I'm going to give you a land. Abram, through you, all the people of the world are going to be blessed. Abram, my promise still stands. How can God take and do that? Because God didn't make the promise between God and Abram. If you'll remember back a few chapters, God made the promise with Himself. Now, yes, there were things that Abram was responsible to do. Yes, He's responsible to walk worthy. But the promise was made between God and Himself. And He says this, Abram, I know you're discouraged. I know you made a mistake, but I still love you. As a matter of fact, my promise still stands. Aren't you so glad that the Bible tells us that He'll never leave us nor forsake us? It doesn't matter how bad you've been, how wrong you've been, how many lies you've told, how many bad decisions and mistakes you've made, God's promised you He'll be with you and He'll be with you. He's promised you that He'll give us everlasting life. I'm so glad I don't have to live my life on eggshells every single day thinking it was just enough for God to kick me out, for God to take away my salvation. I ain't going to live like that because God's promised me that when I put my faith and trust in Him, He gives me everlasting life. And there may be times that I get discouraged, but I can always go back to God and He'll say this, son, you're all right. Yes, you made a mistake, but my promise is still true. My work is still real, and I'm still going to use you for my honor and for my glory. I'm so glad that God doesn't change His mind about me. The Bible says in Romans 2 and verse 4 that it is the goodness of God that leadeth to repentance. In Psalm 145 and verse number 8, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all and His tender mercies are over all His works. You see, God breaks His silence to reveal the divine. God breaks His silence to restore the disobedient. God breaks His silence to reassure the discouraged. But notice here in verse number 5, the Bible says, neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee. I want you to understand that it is God who takes and refreshes the disgrace. He breaks His silence to refresh the disgrace. He took Abram, whose name means exalted father, and changed it to Abraham, which means father of many nations. Now, Abram, how many children you got? One. But he's not the son of promise. Well, how many children do you and your wife have? Oh, we ain't got any yet. Well, how old are you? 99? 89? You're how old? And you're going to be the father of many nations? Yeah, how do you know that? Because God told me it's going to happen. You see, in that day, there was this mindset that to not have children was to bring shame and disgrace upon that family. Didn't matter how much money you had, how wealthy you were, how much connections or popularity you had, to not have children was a disgrace in that society. But God said, Abraham, I want you to know something. You are going to have a son, and you're going to be a father of many nations, and I will bless you. But you still got to trust me while you wait. I'm so glad that when God takes and begins something in my life, you know, the truth is, I like for God to work on my timetable, don't you? I begin to pray, and I think God's going to take care of that tomorrow. God didn't always work that way. Matter of fact, sometimes He waits and waits and waits. And I keep praying. God, did you not hear my prayer? God, I know, I mean, you made it clear that this is exactly what you wanted, that God, you don't seem to be working out all the details. God, are you still working? By the way, Abram's been waiting 24 years now. 24 years. You think that Abram began to wonder, well, maybe I am a disgrace. Maybe I have failed God. Maybe I've done that which has caused me to miss out on God's blessings for my life. And God says, oh no, Abraham, I'm still going to bless you. I'm still going to keep my word. You've got to wait a little longer. But He refreshes that zeal. We see that overflowing in the verse number 8. Or verse number 6, where the Bible says, and I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee and their generation for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession. And I will be their God. You know what he's saying, Abram, I'm not going to let the devil win. God takes and breaks His silence at times so that He can revive the defeated. Abram needed this meeting with God to be encouraged enough and to get enough life put back in him to keep pushing forward and to keep pressing on. Now I say, I'm so glad there are times in my life when God takes and revives me. You say, why? Because there's times that I feel defeated. There's times I want to give up and give over and give in and quit and throw in the towel. And I begin to wonder, is it even worth it at all? And God begins to work in my heart and He revives and says, yes, it's worth it. Yes, just keep going. Yes, just keep faithful. Yes, just keep preaching. Yes, just keep doing what I've asked you to do. Because in the end, it's all worth it. He revives the defeated when he breaks his silence. But notice here in verse number 15, the Bible says, and God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abram fell upon his face and laughed, and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And Abram said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant with his seed after him. You know why God takes and breaks his silence at times? He does so to resolve doubt. Listen, as people, we are so common and so with a tendency to doubt and to worry and to wonder and to question. God will take and do things in just the right way in the right time to resolve that doubt in your heart, because doubt only holds you back. Doubt only keeps you from being all in for God. May I say, it's what God wants. God wants you to be all in for Him. And notice one last thought tonight, back in verse number 1. When Abram was 90 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me, and be thou perfect. You see what He's doing here? We find that God breaks His silence to ready the domestic. He breaks His silence to ready the domestic. He said, preacher, what does that mean? Well, a domestic is simply a servant. Abram was called by God simply to be a servant. And notice what he's commanded to do here in verse number 1. He says, walk before me and be thou perfect. Notice in verse number 9. God said to Abram, thou shalt keep my covenant. You know what God's doing? God breaks His silence so He can prepare Abraham. He says, Abram, just keep walking right. Just be a man of integrity. Be a man that's upright in all his ways. Be a man that's righteous. Be holy. Yes, Abram, I'm going to use you, but this has been a time of preparation, because you need to realize, Abram, it's not you, it's me. God's doing it. God's going to answer this. God's going to do the impossible. But Abram, you've got a responsibility to walk right. You see, there are times, yes, that God seems silent in your life and mine. We wonder, God, do you even hear? And God says, I'm here. And yes, I do hear. And yes, I am at work. And when that time comes through and God appears as He did to Abram and He speaks, we understand why God does it. He does it to reveal the divine. He does it to restore the disobedient. He does it to reassure the discouraged. He does it to refresh the disgraced. He does it to revive the defeated. He does it to resolve the doubter. And He does it to ready the domestic. God seems silent to you today? I assure you that there will come a time when God will break His silence. It may be today, it may be tomorrow, it may be several years from now, but God will break His silence. All we have to do now is be faithful. All will be made clear when God appears and speaks to our heart and accomplishes His will for His silence.